success. And
there you go.
Do pass. So I'd like to start off by going back to, well, let's, why don't we go to Senate Bill 530. Let's see, we don't have everybody here yet. What should we go first?
I'm going to go to show room.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We've got the first break. Shirley, would you like to do your first break?
First break. Well, I'm thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure that we... What is that? That's 3244?
Yep. Or we can do checkoff. No, we can't do checkoff. That's not a work session.
Well, Mr. Chair, 3244, I think we heard the hearing on the first break program when Representative...
Okay, former. Let me open a work
session. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Open a work session. So 3244.
Here comes Representative Merkley. This is first break program, Mr. Chair. This is what former Representative John Schoon and I presented when we were considering that under the other bill, the number of which escapes me. The idea being that when this was first established, I think it was targeted so narrowly at the gang involved and gang affected youth and had such onerous qualification criteria that it essentially failed of its intended purpose, and that with the amendments that are proposed, the gut and stuff, the Dash 1 amendments, these are the Employment Department amendments that would expand the participation to qualified youth, and I think expand the number of community-based programs that can serve basically to market and oversee the employment program so that we are not, we're no longer focusing just on gang affected youth, and I guess that's about it again. Representative Coons in my testimony fairly outlined what the objective of this was. And so this is a little tweak to the first break taxpayer program that is languishing, I think, because of the narrow qualification criteria and complicated administrative provisions.
Okay. And the Dash 1 is what we're operating off of?
That's right.
And revenue impact, Ed, is this accurate here? $250,909.01,
$600,001.03? Mr. Chairman, to the best of my knowledge and ability, these amendments do make it more widely available to employers and easier programs to access and use.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, Jay Williams? I just point out that House Bill 3244 in its original form was my bill on the local option property tax, which I have offered up to Representative Shetterly and Company to be gutting stuff for this purpose. But we'll be glad to support both the Dash 1 amendments and the original bill if it comes up.
Okay. All right. I think we'd probably have a motion.
Are we in work session?
Yes, we are.
Chair, I move Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3244.
President Sherry moves the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 3244. Any more discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Sherry.
I move House Bill 3244 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Sherry moves House Bill 3244 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any more discussion? Let me just add that Representative Rasmussen and I were here when this bill first came up, and I was not sure of it at that time. In its time that it's had to prove its efficiency, it hasn't. So I will not be supporting this bill on the floor for your information. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. Any more discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Representative
Shetterly?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Williams?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Rasmussen?
Aye.
First
go-out.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, not for the no vote, but I mean, for putting it out in spite of the no vote.
House Bill 3244 will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Shetterly Mr. Dr. Carey? Or?
Unless you would.
No, that's fine.
I'll take it.
Okay, we close the work session of House Bill 3244.
Okay.
And do we all have... So we've got... Let's go to 5:30 next. Actually, let's not go till 5:30. Let's go to 5:30. Open the work session on Senate Bill 5:30. And this is what we heard testimony about this morning. We're in work session. We have some amendments that were proposed that I brought forward. Actually, one to put the 10 years back in. One for the 100%, and then we do have a new dash 3 for 75% of the time of a practitioner. So what's the preference of the committee?
Sure.
Representative Welch?
My preference would be we pass the bill without amendments. I think the number of things that we heard this morning, and certainly being a more rural legislator than urban, I think that the bill will, as passed to us from the Senate, will do what we need it to do in our rural areas.
Mr. Chairman?
I concur.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Williams?
I concur as well. And I have friends who are rural Oregonians, so...
Mr. Chair, I visit rural Oregon.
My thinking on this is I'm not real excited about taking out the 10 years. I just feel like that we're giving a lifetime credit here, and I'm not too pleased with that, because it's my opinion that once somebody goes out and establishes a practice, they need help getting started. They buy their house, they buy their office, they get things furnished, they get this break for 10 years, which totals $50,000. And after that time, I think then there are other probably new practitioners who would deserve it more than somebody continuing to get it until retirement. So it's just, again, my personal bias on that.
I appreciate that. I think in the small rural communities, there's not a lot of jockeying for new doctors and physicians out there. And I think for them, retention is as much an issue as recruitment. So for that community, that is, those communities that are benefiting by the rural care providers, I think that the retention issue justifies the elimination of the 10-year requirement, the 10-year limitation, as was expressed in the original bill.
Okay. President Merkley, did you have something?
Yes. I don't know if you intend, Mr. Chair, to offer up that amendment or not. If not, I can say this time.
Yeah, my thinking is that reading the committee here, I don't think I will.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
I move Senate Bill 530A to the floor with the Dupas recommendation.
Representative Rasmussen moves Senate Bill 530A to the floor with the Dupas recommendation. Any more discussion?
Mr. Chair, I guess I do want to comment on the that you proposed. I would have supported that amendment. I've been thinking about the difference between recruiting people to the rural area and providing a lifetime subsidy. I think once people have been in a community for 10 years and their salary has undoubtedly gone up during that period and they've established many ties, I should hope, especially if the significant salaries that our doctors earn, that $5,000 a year wouldn't be the difference in whether or not they stay where they are, and probably our tax dollars are best placed in recruiting them into the communities to begin with, which is what we do under the current version.
You're spoken of sooner. Any other comments? Discussion? Let me look like you're ready to say something.
No. Thank you.
What you're thinking. Okay. Please call the roll.
Representative Tsui. Representative Merkley.
Aye.
Representative Rosenberg.
Aye.
Representative Kelly.
Aye.
Representative Bell.
Aye.
Representative Williams.
Aye.
Representative Mia.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Bill 530 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Welch will represent the rural interest for us.
More than happy.
Thank you. Thank you. Proposed workstation on Senate Bill 530. Let's, Okay, we'll now open a work session on House Bill 3588. And there is a -3 amendment. I'm not sure if everybody has that. Oh, here it comes. Are you after that?
Hey, it's just 1:30.
Paul, would you summarize what the -3s are?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the -3 amendments to 3588 go in and modify the language that is in the tobacco use reduction account, which was a part of Measure 44, which passed in November of 96. And what it does is, under Section 1 there, it expands the uses for the tobacco use reduction account beyond the prevention and education programs designed to reduce cigarette and tobacco use to include city after-school programs for youth or school vacation programs for youth. And then in Section 2, it adds the language under Sub 2 there, the Health Division shall develop and adopt rules for awarding grants to cities for these programs.
Okay. I requested this amendment because I wasn't inclined to increase the cigarette tax to fund these programs. I didn't think that there was a real good nexus there. And but since we do already have the tobacco use reduction account, I thought it was appropriate to redefine that to be to include these after-school programs. That's what we have before us.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, in work session?
Yes, we are.
Move -3 amendments to House Bill 3588.
Attorney Rasmussen, move the -3 amendments to House Bill 3588. Is there any discussion? Objection?
Yes. Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Representative Merkley.
The general fund, the tobacco use reduction account, where are these monies coming from? Are they from existing cigarette taxes?
Right. This is, as Paul explained, this is a Measure 44 money, a portion of which was designated to go into the tobacco use reduction account. A lot of that's used for advertising, for school grants to do anti-smoking programs, and we're just adding in after-school youth programs as another approved use of those funds, those already existing taxes.
Already existing. We're not increasing any taxes.
No, absolutely not.
The urgent market, that's 3 cents per pack, goes into this account.
I see. Do we have any, in preparing this amendment, Mr. Chair, did you have any sense of how the current funds are being used and the value? Because we'll be essentially reducing the existing use. I'm wondering if you have any sense of the impact on programs.
Let's see. I think you have distribution percentages. This is just the general tobacco use reduction. No, I don't have a breakdown on how the health division is now splitting that up between how much is going to individual schools, how much is going to the billboard, bus board, anti-smoking advertising campaign, but that's what this fund is looking for now.
Is the health division comfortable being in the role of administering an education program?
The health division was authorized under the original Measure 44 to administer this additional tax, and so if we're adding in this definition of an additional tax, they're the logical ones to administer the fund. We didn't hear any testimony from them.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you. I feel that while these are probably worthwhile
purposes, I share your concern about the connection. Though I probably could have supported the original bill, I'm very concerned about reducing the money that we're spending directly on reducing smoking, and I have a problem putting getting into those funds for another purpose.
Okay. Representative Rosenbaum objects to the adoption of the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's consistent with the purpose of the program. I think we had lots of testimony from folks from various cities and other agencies who testified that it's these hours after school that kids start getting involved in activities such as smoking, and that these kinds of programs could have a positive educational impact in terms of steering them away from starting the habit of smoking. So I think it's consistent with the overall program, and I'm supportive of the amendment.
Thank you. That was my opinion, too, and I felt, in fact, that it would be more beneficial to have kids doing activities and engaged in something rather than just have more bus boards and billboards, which I find a lot of kids either ignore or laugh at or are not persuaded by.
Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm. Representative Merkin.
If we adopt this amendment, I will support it as our bill. I think it's not a bad idea, but I probably have a preference for the existing legislation and the additional money.
Okay, so are you objecting to the amendment?
Yeah.
Okay. Representative Welsh?
Mr. Chair, I could support it because, you know, I know there's plenty of, and even some of my family members that live in a rural area that smoke, and there's a city after-school program that has me concerned here. Is it strictly going to be for city after-school programs and vacation programs?
That was the proposal, since this was brought by the League of Cities, and it was a city-generated initiative.
I think it should, Mr. Chair, the follow-up should be statewide if we're going to do this.
Well, there are cities all over the state, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but after-school programs are needed everywhere.
This is also, yeah, that's true, but this is also probably helpful because a portion of the tobacco tax is distributed through the city mechanism on a population basis. Anyway, not that this would necessarily would be, but that's a way that the health division could theoretically choose to distribute this money. Representative Rasmussen, and then
I'd like to point out to remind the rural representative that we did just manage to pass out a special solution for rural healthcare practitioners that doesn't seem to be available for healthcare practitioners in my state, so I guess what goes around comes around.
In your city,
Our city.
Mr. Chairman,
isn't there already programs, city after school programs that are in place, and what we're doing here is we're making the possibility of some additional funding to them, so it's not like we're I understood the testimony that was presented in the public hearing. It's not like we're starting a brand new program. All we're doing is assisting with some funding to these city programs that currently exist. And the testimony, of course, at public hearing was that these programs can be a positive way to keep kids productive and acting productively and not engaging in smoking. So I think what we're doing is we're building on a program that currently exists.
Right, I think that's accurate. And they were saying that Measure 50 had impacted their ability to raise additional dollars for those programs.
Okay. I was just going to say that some of my friends smoke.
Yeah. And they're rural, too.
Yeah. In rural areas.
Okay, I have two objections.
No, I don't have an objection. I asked this once, and I think I overheard Representative Rasmussen asking Dick if this is a Ways and Means referral, or was it, did you ask Dick? Was it Paul? Was that the other thing?
I think that we may have an issue of this may be a need to refer on to the Ways and Means.
And speak your purpose. How do you think that is?
Well, let's ask staff.
Staff?
I just said, that was my question. I'm not saying that it is. I want to make sure we send it to the right place.
Yeah. We're not spending any additional funds. The health division already has a process to allocate these funds. And the taxes already. We're not raising any taxes.
I think that's
referring to the tax fund.
3588 itself. grow because it originally created it.
I would think that, because it created a new tax, it started a whole new thing. I think the Dash 3 amendments, in my opinion, would negate that.
Right.
I would be inclined to send it away to me.
That's fine. I had heard that Representative Rasmussen asked Paul, who said that it did have a referral. I wanted to make sure we got that answer before we went ahead.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, support.
I support the amendment, and I don't think it needs to go away from me.
Well, there you have it.
Thank you.
Chairman, I just
and
do after school.
Thank you, my father.
Chairman Kapori.
Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3588.
Actually, that motion was already moved, and we've been in further discussion, and we had two objections. Are there any more objections? Two objections? Okay, the Dash 3s are adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
Representative, who wants it?
I move House Bill 3588 to the floor as amended with the Drew-Cass recommendation.
Representative Rasmussen moves House Bill 3588. It's amended by the Dash 3 to the floor with the Drew-Cass recommendation. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Murphy?
Aye.
Representative
Rosenthal? Aye.
Representative
Shatterly? Aye.
Representative Bell?
I'll help get out of committee. Aye.
Representative Williams?
Aye.
Representative Gale?
Aye.
Vice Chair Rasmussen?
Aye.
I've just been handed a bulletin. I don't understand why it says here relating to youth and creating new provisions, amending appropriating money. Mr. Johnson, could you tell us why this appropriates money?
We already decided.
Yeah, take a vote, and we're not happy about it.
Mr. Chair, members, good afternoon. Dexter Johnson, Legislative Council Office. In the tobacco use reduction account, in the provision that establishes that, it says the money is continuously appropriated to the health division for purposes listed, here it is actually, lines 8 and 9, for the following purposes, and what we're doing is adding this new purpose, and that makes it an appropriation. It's a continuing appropriation.
I think I would respectfully differ with you that we're adding a new purpose. I think what we're doing is including another definition of the original purpose.
Mr. Chair, that would then it would not necessarily follow that the amendment wouldn't be doing anything that couldn't be done anyway.
That's true. Okay, but we're not asking for any amount of money to be appropriated different from what is already being appropriated to this tobacco use reduction fund that's raised by the tax on cigarettes. We're not asking for another penny to go into that fund. We're just saying that it could be spent in another way. Authorized by the health division.
And Mr. Chair, that's correct. This bill does not appropriate any more money to the tobacco use reduction account, but appropriating means where it is ultimately spent. And what we're doing here is adding another purpose for which the money may be spent.
But we're also in Section 2 asking the Health Division to do that, right?
Mr. Chair, yes. It's the Health Division that will ultimately decide where the what particular programs is going to, but they're the ones that are that the appropriation is for.
whether we pass this bill or not, the same amount of money will go into the tobacco use reduction account.
Yes.
I don't get why it has to go to the same account.
Mr. Chair, because you're adding a new purpose for which the money may be used.
Okay. Representative Rasmussen.
I'm happy to withdraw the motion.
Representative Rasmussen withdraws the motion. Would you make a new motion then?
Yes, Chair, I move House Bill 3588 as amended to raise amendments to the House recommendation.
Representative Rasmussen, I haven't gaveled yet.
No.
House Bill 3588 as amended by the Dash 3 to the Ways and Means Committee with a do pass recommendation. Any more discussion? Please call the roll now.
Representative Shikori.
Aye.
Representative Merkley.
Aye.
Representative
No.
Representative Shetterly.
Aye.
Representative Wells.
Aye.
Representative Williams.
Aye.
Representative Gass.
Aye. Also, 3588 will go to what means to the recommendation. Thank you, next year, for your help.
Are you sure about
that? Yeah, well, that. Close the work session on House Bill 3588. The only thing we have left is House Bill 3002. Representative Merkley, do you want to present that? Is that something you're going to
do? Yes, that would be great.
I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3002. Okay. They're looking at me. Did I do something? The Ways and Means?
No.
No money. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Representative Merkley.
Yes. At our last public hearing on this bill, we presented the bill, and Chair asked me to do a little bit of research about it. One of the questions in regard to correcting this marriage penalty was the cost. Each of you should have in your materials a chart that looks like this. Mm-hmm. And I have an extra here if anyone is without one. What this shows is that the current law, the standard deduction is $1,800. Recognize that this is the deduction if you don't itemize. That is what we're addressing. It's $3,000 if you are married filing joint return, or $1,500 if you're married filing single returns, and the issue here is that obviously if you are married and filing together, the value of your deduction is lower than if you're unmarried living together, and how do we correct that? Then we can either correct it by raising the deduction for married individuals filing joint return, which is shown in the first line of the chart, the first line under equalized, and it's $1,800, $3,600, $1,800. And, or, at the other end of the spectrum, we can lower the standard deduction for a single individual until it is equalized by lowering it to $1,500. In the first case, it costs money. The impact is shown as $19 million in the 9901 name. And in the latter case, you raise money, and it's shown as $16 million in the 1999-01 biennium. And you can also catch a point in between that is essentially revenue neutral. That point is achieved roughly by lowering the single deduction by 150 and increasing the joint deduction by 300. And then the marriage penalty is erased and you have something very close to revenue neutrality. When I last reviewed this, there were a number of people who supported this eliminating the marriage penalty, however, there was a split between folks who favored it in the revenue neutral form and in the form in which everyone's raised to the higher level deduction, which does indeed have quite a revenue impact. And so it's on that basis we bring it back to see if we can reach a majority that favors it one direction or the other.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anybody in the audience want to speak on the bill? Okay. And then I'll close the public hearing. Open the work session on Bill 3002.
Let's talk about this.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Witt. I think the first thing we need to give consideration to is there any principle here that would lead us to believe that this standard deduction should be different for a single individual, single taxpayers, or married taxpayers? Is there any reason why it should not be double what it is for the single taxpayer? Maybe someone in the committee has some input on that. I don't see any reason as to why it should be. I'd be interested in hearing if anybody has any opinion to the contrary and what the reason would be. And I guess that also leads to the question as to why has it been set up this way?
Ed, why has it been set up this way?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think the rationale, I don't know why these numbers were adopted, although they were adopted quite a long time ago and not indexed for inflation. But I think the rationale is that it is cheaper on a per-person basis to run a household than it is to exist as alone. You live under a roof, you pay rent. Two people could live under that same house and pay the same rent. So it's, I think that's the basic rationale.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, what?
Ed, what do we provide when you have additional dependents?
Dependent exemption credit is per dependent, and currently I believe it's $132 per dependent.
The credit applies also to the taxpayers, right?
That is correct.
But no increase in the standard deduction when you have additional dependents.
That is correct.
Mr. Chair.
Chair Merkel.
I think that at the time these numbers were crafted, we may well have been living in a world in which people did not engage often in the practice of having multiple adults under the same roof unless they were married. And so the difference in numbers reflected social practice that is no longer there. It's no longer 100% highly consistent with that.
That's city life being a rural representative.
Mr. Chairman, I have friends who were both married.
And they smoke.
Yeah, and they smoke. I'd just be interested. I thought it would be interesting to maybe have the department come up and talk about whether or not that was the underlying philosophy.
Apparently they do not.
I was teasing, obviously.
I'd like to propose that we look at the line in which starts with $1,650 and $3,300. A reduction in the single standard deduction of $150 at a 9% tax rate is approximately $13.50. And so we're not talking about a huge reduction, nor are we talking about a huge gain for married couples. And I think that these small changes would leave us with rough revenue neutrality while honoring the principle that a couple shouldn't pay more because they decide to get married.
Okay. Well, that does seem to make a little bit of sense. Let me hear some more discussion. Hey, Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I guess I see this a little bit differently, because if you move from one end of the scale to another, you're either raising people's taxes or you're lowering them. And although it may be that the original thought behind the way our system of deductions is structured is a little different from current reality, I haven't heard a large hue and cry from my constituents or others about this being the most unjust thing in our tax system. And if you were going to apply tax reductions, I would rather not see us do it across the board without regard to people's income, which is in fact what we would be doing by just making a blanket change. So I'm uncomfortable, I guess, tinkering with this in the current climate that we're in, where we don't have a lot of dollars to play with. And if we have some, I'd like to see us look at and refundable child care credits or something that would go to those that are most needy in terms of tax relief.
Stay-at-home moms or something like that.
Mm-hmm. We haven't done.
Anyway.
Mr. Chairman, it would seem to me, since we're talking about people that are using standard deductions, this would tend to be lower-income people, because higher-income people are going to have itemized deductions. So it seems to me, and the fact that this is not indexed and hasn't been changed for, I assume, a number of years, tells me that the lowest-income people, or the people that tend to use standard deductions, haven't been getting an increase in that deduction all these years. So because of that, I mean, I would probably be inclined to go higher up the chart than what Representative Murphy was, maybe up to $1,700 for the single, $3,400 jointly, because I think it recognizes this does tend to be low-income people, and this has not been set up for inflation or indexed for inflation, and these folks have been falling behind in terms of what they can use on the standard deduction.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well,
I would support what Representative Witt was saying there. I like that 17 number there.
My only problem with that is the last column over there on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Sure that I have
around.
Mr. Chairman. Especially since we're talking about this biennium that we're budgeting for.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, I do think this is somewhat targeted, and I am, the fact that this has not been indexed, I think we recognize that these folks have been getting less and less over the years in terms of their standard deduction. These inflation's been depreciating the value of it. It seems to me to give them some relief is appropriate, and I do believe it's reasonably targeted.
Mr. Chair.
And Representative Rasmussen.
I would support the line that begins with 1650 and encourage Representative Witt to come back next session with some study or some look at how you can index it. I think that if we don't move this bill tonight, we stand a very high risk of doing nothing due to the March of the session.
Mr. Chairman, this is the last time we're going to consider this bill. Could we conceptually amend it and index it?
I would be very uncomfortable indexing anything without a revenue impact on it.
Mm-hmm. I could support the 1650 with index.
I would point out to folks the difference between the 1650 and the 1700 is $4.50. Whereas the overall, because so many people qualify, the overall revenue impact difference is about $6 million, which is a sizable number. We may be arguing past the point of significant digits on this between the 1650 and the 1700.
Fair comment. This is, being this late, my reference would either, my recommendation would either be to adopt this line that equalizes 1650, 3300, or do nothing and have this come back.
Mr. Chairman?
Another session.
Okay, what?
If those are the two options, I'll go with the 1650 line.
Mr. Chair?
Okay, Kapori.
Being someone who, it wasn't very long ago that I was single, I think that it's somewhat unfortunate, even if it's a $4 or whatever, Representative Merkley said, to be penalizing people for being single. I have a problem with that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Or Representative, who is speaking?
Well, the reality is right now we are penalizing people for being married, and what this bill does is it gets rid of that penalty. So it's not penalizing people for being single. It's bringing married people and single people into equilibrium. I also would point out that some of these married people filing jointly have children, and they're not getting any standard deduction recognition for their children. So it's you know, if anything here, what we're doing is we're equalizing it between married people filing jointly and single people. We're eliminating the bias that exists today in the tax code as it relates to standard deduction.
Hey, further discussion, Representative.
I probably have made my comment that applies to the full proposal, but I would just point out there. I mean, in the current reality, there are all 50 configurations of the way people live their lives. There are married people who maintain separate households, too. And I'm really uncomfortable with the idea that we are going to go about raising taxes for people that are in one whole class of taxpayers, which is people that are filing as single taxpayers. A lot of those are very low-income people, and although this may represent a small increase in their taxes, I guess I'm not on the same wavelength with those that are thinking this is the right way to go about applying tax relief.
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Jankovore?
And I think that raising taxes for single people is very anti-Gen X, and my generation might have something to say about that. Thank you, Mr. Berkley.
When you get married.
Trying to be fair, that you were the limit.
Mr. Chairman? I would move that we conceptually, on line 19 of House Bill 3002, change $3,600 to $3,300. And on line 22, we change $1,800 to $1,650.
Okay. Mr. Henry Witt moves a conceptual amendment which would change two figures in the bill on the page 1, line 19, delete $3,600 and insert $3,300. On line 22, delete 1800 and insert 1650.
Mr. Chair?
Is there any discussion?
Yes. I'm going to go that way. You may need to pick up line 20. I think that needs to be brought to 1650. That is the piece that you need to pick up.
I would also add that to my conceptual amendment, Mr. Chair, that on line 20, $1,800 becomes 1650.
That, of course, becomes the Gen X hip piece, but
All right. Yeah, and the... Okay, any further discussion on that conceptual amendment? The line 19, line 20, and line 22. Any objection?
Objection.
One, two...
Objection. Considering the fact that we have had no public testimony about this bill, I really find that it's kind of going a little crazy, you might say.
We had the bill posted for two different public hearings.
Yep.
Your Gen X people didn't show up. Okay, the motion is adopted. The conceptual motion is adopted.
Chairman? I would move House Bill 3002 as conceptually amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Okay, Whit moves House Bill 3002 as conceptually amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any more discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Merkley?
I'll just note that because it's a fairly small adjustment, I feel comfortable doing this, but I promise to be back next session with an increase for everyone.
Well, I do think...
Particularly our Generation Xers.
Yeah, I do think there is a bit of logic in making it even rather than having it be disequilibriumized, if that's a word. Against either married or single people. Out of balance would be a better way to say that. Any more discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Pistori?
Nope.
Representative Berkley?
Aye.
Representative Kettenbaum?
No.
Representative Beverly?
Excuse?
Representative Wells?
Aye.
Representative Williams?
Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Aye. House Bill 3002 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Who'd like to carry?
Representative Murphy's bill, Mr. Chairman.
I know that. Would you like to carry the
bill? I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, Representative Murphy will carry the bill. Thank you very much. Close the work session on House Bill 3002. Thanks for your attendance, and we're adjourned.